Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm Nick Houghton of 40%German.com, and I'm joined by our man in the Nürnberger land, Simon Maddox, and coming straight out of Bonn, stalwart producer Simon Josie, to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey, Simon. Hey, producer Simon.
Evening. Hello.
That's one Simon down. Yeah, producer Simon's still not on mic. I don't know. Do we just delete him from the introduction at this point? I feel like he's there. I can see him. He's like doing stuff in the background.
Yeah, he's preparing himself for being interrogated at the US border. And hopefully, once he returns from his visit to the homeland of New Zealand of rolling hills and very intelligent parrots, I'm sure he'll get back on the mic then. Like, it's a Kia, isn't it, Simon? Will he nod at a Kia? Yeah. The cleverest parrot in the world. Well done. Well done, New Zealand.
I feel like I'm the odd one out here. What's this about the most intelligent parrot?
I mean, I'm not sure how you IQ test a parrot, but I think the Kia is regarded as the smartest of them all. And it's this really cute green parrot, and they live in the mountains. I'm not sure what the altitude minimum is for them. But yeah, they're like super smart and really good at interacting with people. And I think it was Stephen Fry, Twitter hero and also sort of actor and the like. He went and did an episode about them, and Akia decided he liked Stephen Fry so much it tried to have sex with his head. So there's quite amazing footage of like this icon of UK TV and film being humped by a very clever parrot.
Hey, we all have to have hobbies, right? I mean, that's a good day in the office for anyone, surely, being the focal point of the interests of a exotic parrot. Not just an exotic parrot, but the most intelligent exotic parrot, apparently. Anyway, I feel like that's not very German, but that's okay.
I think we are going to move to something else green, though, so I think this is quite a cunning transition.
Yeah, it's green. There's definitely a green topic coming up because we're going to begin proceedings this week with an announcement. Friends, the beacons have been lit. The banners have been called. It's time to begin. Spargelzeit 2025. Yeah.
Spargelzeit.
Are you excited? Spargelzeit. I feel like it needs to be a big horn. There's someone in Bavaria just going...
I mean, you're closer to the mountains than I am, and I'm sure there has been that. Maybe it's just drowned out by the motorway noise. But I think, yeah, there's probably some very nice Otto on top of a mountain crowning the Anfang of Spargelzeit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's a big one. But this is a big announcement because according to the Agrimarkt Informationsgesellschaft, which is the agricultural market information.
It's my favorite market information. So, yeah.
Yeah. Harvesting has begun across the entire country, in fact, in all the 16 states. And sadly, it's begun rather slowly. But they believe by Easter, we will see an abundance of one of the world's worst vegetables coming at the tables all across Germany. It's my least favorite time of year where everything just becomes spargly. So I guess we all have to rejoice, except myself, and get excited for the joys of Spargel Ice or Spargel Erdbeer Salat or Spargel Pizza, Spargel Nussknacker, Spargel Spargel and Chips. I don't know. Are you excited, Simon?
I'm more excited than you are, that's for sure. I'm not a big fan of the white Spargel. I haven't integrated to that point yet, and that seems to be the most popular version in the Franconian cuisine. But I love a green Spargel. I think it's really nice. Chuck it on the grill, load of salt and olive oil. Lovely. It's a really great, versatile veg. I hadn't heard the call either that Spargelzeit was back, but I was pleasantly surprised when I went shopping yesterday morning to see Spargel of both varieties available in my local Aldi. So I then knew that I'd missed the memo. But I was able to join it. But my wife's not a massive fan, so I declined buying the first crop. I didn't check if they were of German origin or if they'd sneakily been imported from across the border from some other Spargel fiend country, taking advantage of the German Gesellschaft and their need for immediate Spargel once April starts. But yeah, I will indulge, that's for sure. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I feel like my estimation of your wife has gone skyrocketing due to her lack of enthusiasm for Spargelzeit. Whereas my general kind of respect for you is plummeted now that I've learned that you're one of the enemy on the other side of the trench.
Are you also gonna have a go at me because I like kohlrabi as well? Is that
I just feel and it's not like I'm bitter or anything, but you might be some kind of class traitor for liking. But no,
you're not bitter, but you won't have any vegetable that isn't sweet.
You know what it is? Isn't that even dislike Spargel? Although the after effects, well, yeah, we can talk about that till the cows come home. But I'm not a big fan of that either. But like, I'll eat it, and in fairness, you can't avoid it at this time of year if you go out to eat or you go eat anything or have any connection to a German in your life, you will end up eating Spargel at some point during this period. But the lovely asparagus is obviously an acquired taste. But that's not the issue. I think the issue is the fact that they try and jam it into pretty much everything and just becomes like slightly, I feel like it's slightly cultish.
Yeah, I mean, there are those restaurants in the Altstadt here in Nuremberg, which are already very sort of tourist focused. And their menus are normally quite well guarded secrets. Like, they won't have any advertisement outside. You have to go to the door to see what their options are, if you're lucky. Otherwise, you have to go inside and actually see a menu. But Spargelzeit comes, and then there are like signage everywhere showing all the variety with pictures. And you are right. There are a lot of permutations on Spargel with something. Yeah. Maybe with something and something, if you're really lucky.
Something and something. Well, it's included in something. But I guess though, it's like nice. It's a like turning of the seasons and all that jazz. It's actually, I should be less bitter about it, shouldn't I? I should be less bitter in general, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that might help. I'm sure the majority of people who listen to the show are also sort of saddened by the world enough to be with us that they probably enjoy Spargel as well.
We should cheer them up. No, guys, forget me. I'm a terrible example. Enjoy your Spargel. Eat it. Turn it into some kind of spread and put it on your toast in the morning.
I think it's also just quite a pleasing vegetable in so many ways. Like the fact that it sort of grows the way it does through sand and like erupts like weird fingers of vegetation. I think that's quite cool. It's quite a cool little veg as far as they go.
Yeah, I guess. I guess maybe I just need to rethink my.
I think it's this class. I mean, you talked about me being a class traitor, but I think it's just such a posh veg that you're working class. You're like fucking southerners eating their asparagus and drinking their champagne while Thatcher closes the mines.
Yeah, that's exactly where my positioning was on the spectrum of politics. That's where I live.
But yeah, I look forward to it. And yeah, maybe in 2 weeks we can talk about the weird things I tried to do with it to make my wife like it. But we'll see how successful I can be.
2 weeks ago, we discussed the possibility of Europeans boycotting US products due to the international turmoil and full-on swing to the 1930s that the current Trump administration is spearheading. Obviously, things have continued to intensify, / decline, / go to total shit, delete as applicable, with the arrival of Donald Trump's Liberation Day tariffs. So, with Trump making the global financial markets collectively evacuate their bowels, are you going on full boycott there, Simon?
I think so. If I'm totally honest, I don't have plans for everything at the moment, but I have taken some steps already. So I mentioned I had to go shopping yesterday, and for the first time, I was like consciously shopping European. I think it is quite easy if you go to a German supermarket, because a lot of if you just buy Hausmarque, like the own label brands, that's normally a pretty safe place to start. But as well as braving Aldi, notes to self, every week I think to myself, I'll go shopping on Monday morning because I haven't got lessons in the morning. That's a really good idea. No one else will do that. And then I go there and there's just every fucking grandma being like led there by a really loving child who's like having a really quality time. But there's two people to a trolley and they're not very mobile. And I get annoyed. And then you go to the queue and it's like you're deciding which queue to go behind based on how many grandmas there are and how much are in there. But it's... Don't go shopping on a Monday morning. I live in the suburbs and it's a huge mistake.
Yeah, no, it's important. It's a good tip.
This is consumer advice. If anyone has a Monday morning
for the Nürburgerland area,
don't go shopping. Yeah. But I also had to go to DM. And of course, there are other options. There is Rossmann as well if you don't want to do DM. But I was really consciously thinking, like, there are loads of things that I needed that I do buy American products. So like my shower gel, I've used an American owned shower gel for the last 15 years. And I've decided to not use that anymore. So I've gone to a DM Hausmark, and the aroma notes are coriander and something. It sounded delicious, and it also smells quite good. No one's commented on my corianderness so far.
Yeah, that's the secret to life in Germany, right? Is you spend, like, and this is something I learned. Like, I was raised on the idea that if you buy an own brand, it's probably going to be significantly shitter, especially deodorant. It's not going to be a good, like, or like shower gel. What I found with DM, I don't know, I'm a DM guy. I'm not a Rossmann guy.
No, I'm a DM.
It's because there's only DMs around us. We got, and it's like what? Like, DM's like a drugstore, isn't it? It's essentially sort of, it's everything but medication. And what I've realized is that deodorant is class. It's 85 cents, I think. And they're standard, like, it's like, it's like light blue, just bog standard deodorant. Just, it's much better than like all the other options I could have. I'm just like, oh yeah, not bad. Well done.
I mean, for years I've used like an antiperspirant from L'Oreal. Of course, that is a French company, but I think it's 20% American owned these days. So now I've gone to a name that I always looked at. I was like, that just sounds silly. Bruno Banani or Bruno Badani. I don't know what he's called.
I've seen Bruno Banani.
There's alliteration at play. And the smelling notes, so I was like, it's called like dark luxury or something. I'm like, I'm not a dark luxury kind of guy. But I sprayed some in the store in the cap and I was like, that'll do. So we'll see if I survive the summer without an antiperspirant. Listerine, not buying that anymore. Going to a non-American brand of that. The only thing I have stayed with is my toothpaste, because I do use like one that's like dentist recommended for a teeth condition that I have. So that's not being downsized, but everything else.
I think it's hard. So you've got to find... That's the trick. And you were talking about L'Oreal's 20% owned, and it's something I've been thinking about. It's a tricky one. But I'm certainly over the next week going to be thinking more carefully about where I'm buying my products from and who I'm buying my products from.
I think for guys, it's pretty easy. I think, but when we look at like the cosmetic options for women, it's really, really challenging, because basically every big brand that we will have heard of is American owned. But yeah, as you rightly said, at the moment, since the tariffs came in, things have intensified, they have declined, they have gone to shit. So all of those things are applicable that you mentioned. And yeah, China seems to be very much up for retaliation. So we'll see what happens. We are recording on the 8th of April. So by the time this comes out, things will have changed. And we're recording next in 2 weeks. By the time we speak next, things will have changed even more. So yeah, nothing feels very permanent at the moment. But I think I'm certainly motivated by this sort of buy from EU movement that seems to, I think it's 200,000 people on Reddit. It was mentioned on the Heute show. It was mentioned on RTL and ZDF. Like, this is a growing thing. And of course, it's not just Germany. We're seeing this in Portugal and Sweden and in Norway. Like, the Europeans seem to be feeling very much like, you know what? Fuck yourselves. We're going to look after ourselves a little bit here. And just, this is one thing I can do. And I'm just going to not support these major American monopolies in many cases.
Yeah. After the story many weeks ago about the Deutsche Bahn employee finding €42,000 on the side of some rail tracks, I assumed that would be the last tale of wealth discovered nestled in a holdall. Well, turns out I was totally wrong. Apparently, it's raining random bags of cash in Germany right now. Although we're not the ones finding it. This time, it was the turn of an 8-year-old child who came across €15,000 while digging in a flower pot in their school garden. So, we're just burying money now, Simon. Get the spades! We're going to my daughter's kindergarten. We're going to find some riches in them there hills.
I mean, yeah, gardening season has started in the Maddox house, and so far I've found no money in any of the holes I've dug.
You're not working hard enough, mate,
no.
I'll tell you.
No.
It's out there.
I'm going to start in the neighbor's garden in the dark of night and see if they've got anything stashed away. But so far, no joy at all. Just bulbs.
Is that the strategy? Just invade your neighbor's garden and hope you can find some?
Yeah, I think so. Like, we're having a bit of a weird one with one of our neighbors. This isn't in the script at all. But we got these neighbors who we don't like very much, and we get the feeling they don't like us very much either. And the other day, I saw one of them putting up a fence panel. And I was like, yes, they're building a fence. Amazing. This is so good. So he put up one fence panel. When he wasn't doing that, I looked out the window. I was like, that's like a meter and a half away from the boundary line, like on their side. So they're like cut off part of their own garden. And it's like one fence panel. I was like, okay, that's bizarre. And then I saw him like putting like hanging baskets on the other side. So I was like, okay, it's a display fence. Weird, but okay. And then like a week later, he put up the second panel. And I'm like, yes, they're building more of the fences. It's amazing. And then now it stopped.
So they just built two panels of fence.
That's curious, and man. To one side of their boundary, it's another meter and a half. And so they put some shrubs down. And to ours, it's a meter and a half. And we do have bushes that grow on our boundary line, so it is going to be filled in a little bit. But there's just gaps on two sides of this, like, two-panel fence. It's so weird. What are these people doing?
Do you know, like, the old sort of, I'm not sure if it's a British-wide tradition, certainly an English tradition, of like, wealthy people in, like, the 18th century entertaining themselves on their estates by building, like, follies.
Mm-hmm.
And building like silly towers and things that they go, oh, look, this is a silly tower, and take their mates around and, I don't know, beat some poor people. That's usually what they did in the 18th century.
Yeah, they did have, some had hermits that lived in them, didn't they? They employed people to live in follies.
Oh, yeah, like that's very odd. And they definitely did it here because there's some sort of weird little follies you'll see. Like there's a place near us that built like a natural theater in their gardens and stuff. So I know it's a concept. Could that be what's happening here? Have they just built a folly? Because I see around my neck of the woods, because of the age of the area and the way that the area is kind of expanded out of the center of a tiny village, is you see the trends that were happening. Like there was a trend in my area at one point for American style mailboxes.
Yeah.
And so like dotted around, you see like loads of houses. So like you could track where the salesman went, who was selling them or whatever. There was another one that's like, this is the folly thing that I think. A lot of places have like corner walls, but they're not red brick, like more natural brick kind of walls, but just, and they've got windows in them, like kind of almost like church windows.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's only the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you see them dotted around in people's gardens. And I mean, they look nice. Don't fit in with anything around them or the rest of the building.
Is this modern architecture, or did there used to be a church here? Ooh, mystery.
Is this a housing estate or a medieval house?
I don't think they've thought about it. I think it's more of a spiked fence. I think they've built a little fence just to not have to see us, because it's the one section where they can see us and we can see them. So we're thrilled. We're absolutely thrilled. But I did catch today the landlord seeing it for the first time today, and he looked baffled. Just looking at this fence, it's like a meter and a half away from the boundary line. Like nothing's really near it. Just a decorated two-panel fence in the middle of their garden. And he looked very confused, but he seemed to be happy that it was removable whenever they move out. So yeah, we'll see. It's not going to stop their dog barking at us every time we're in the garden. It's not going to stop her coughing, her cigarette-filled lungs. It's not going to change that at all, but we're not going to have to see them. So yeah, roll on, full hedges.
Hey, but then how are you going to get in to steal their riches that are clearly buried? That's why they built the wall, man. Because they know.
Well, I'm not digging in their garden because they've got lots of dog piss stains on there. So the brown
circles. That's how they're keeping you out, man.
It's not where the treasure is.
It's a trick. I tell you, it's a trick. That's it's
all
a setup, man.
You're giving my neighbours a lot of credit here. Okay.
I don't even know your neighbours. I have no idea who they are. Have I ever met them at a barbecue at yours?
No.
No. Okay,
they have not been invited over.
They have not been invited. But yeah, let's see. I'm pretty sure that we can bring this back to the story we were attempting to talk about. I'm sure we can find a link, and the link is clearly that your neighbours are hiding riches.
I'm precocious. This child is precocious. There we go. we're back.
You are quite precocious. Speaking of the precocious child finding 15,000 euros, sort of, now that he's become the richest child in his class by some large margin, this precocious treasure hunter did the only thing that he could and correctly informed his teacher. And in so doing, surely instilled a very healthy distrust in authority figures. Why do you ask? Well, the teachers, of course, called the police, who in turn confiscated the money, returning our little heroic gold digger back to the rags from riches. bit of a spoil sport there. I mean, can you reward that kid with at least a tenner, you know?
Yeah, but also, you call him the richest child in the class. Maybe cash rich, but he's in Cologne, this kid is not really going to be the richest with 15 grand in his pocket. There are going to be kids who are going to inherit lovely houses that have really appreciated a lot in the last 25 years in Cologne.
Little Jürgen at the back there has got a very complex real estate portfolio. Yeah.
Stocks and bonds. He bought Siemens early. They're fine.
He diversified. That was it, you see. When he turned 8, he diversified all his investments. He's been buying gold. He's making a killing.
I think we're seeing what happened here. The police were jealous. Like, okay, we need to stop this wealth grab in his tracks.
They were like, this kid's going to turn into Elon Musk if we're not careful. Better sort him out now. Take his money. So in fairness, the police had some serious work to do in order to find the owner of the money. Luckily, they had their best team on the case, who quickly reported to the media that someone must have buried the money in the school garden. Okay. As of yet, the police do not know who or why or have any ideas at all. How about you, Simon? Who do you think buried the 15,000 euros in the kindergarten?
My first instinct is a drug dealer, because who else is going to have that amount of cash? Second guess.
Of course it's a drug dealer.
Yeah, of course it's a drug dealer.
So much a drug dealer.
Second guess is maybe an old person who was sleepwalking. They're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to take my money to the beaches of Brazil. I'm just going to bury it here. I'm retiring to Brazil one day. Yeah, I think those are my two guesses. Drug dealer or delusional old person. What are you thinking? Squirrel with really big biceps that can carry 15 grand of cash.
I mean, hey, at this point, anything is possible. I guess some kind of one of them boss babies, maybe. I've seen them knocking around.
See, now I am thinking it's a child that's robbed Ulmer.
It's one of them gangster kindergartners. I'm trying to think about my kids' kindergarten and kindergripper, and what's the abilities of that. Nah, not a chance. They can't concentrate on Jack at this point in their lives, so I can't see it being one of the kids. Pirates, probably. They like burying money, don't they?
Your daughter could carry 15 grand.
She could carry definitely more than 15 grand. But
what's her upper limit? How much cash do you reckon your daughter carry?
How much cash do you reckon? And we're talking about the tens of thousands at this point, I think. Okay. So maybe like 40 grand, perhaps. She could probably carry 40 grand.
40 grand, okay.
I think. Let's say, I have no idea how much that weighs. But in fairness, it isn't the issue about whether they can carry it. It's whether they can carry it to a specific destination. Because if you tell my daughter, here's 40 grand, we need you to carry it over there, she'll get distracted within about 3 milliseconds by anything at all. Bit of paper, some shiny objects, Peppa Pig, something. Yeah. So,
okay.
Not a great accomplice, in fairness.
But if it's her fingerprints and not yours, then I guess you're in the clear.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm going to use her as a patsy. I'm no idiot. That's why I got kids, right? For organ donation and for framing when you've committed a heinous crime.
I mean, I've got kidney disease, and if I had a child, I'd feel more relaxed.
Hey, stop looking at my kids. No.
They're English. That's a match. That's basically the same gene pool, yeah?
One of them's O negative. What? Horrendous way to end the segment, but there we are. So the police don't have any leads. It's clearly pirates burying money in the kindergarten. They just needed to ask an expert like myself. The police are, though, looking for witnesses, and they do not currently believe that the 15,000 euros came from a drug deal, unlike Simon, who is probably right more than anything. The owner does not come forward. The money will go to the city of Cologne. Boo! Give it to the kids!
I mean, yeah. What do you reckon that if you're in charge of spending this money on the city of Cologne, what are you going to do? 15 grand?
It's harsh, man. Just like, give the kid 5 grand.
It's got to be a finder's fee on this, you'd think. Yeah.
Imagine the scale electrics you could buy with 5 grand.
Is that what you do? And
not at
5 grand on scale electrics.
Right, so how old was the 8-year-old that said the kid was, right? So that was before I became horrendously obsessed by eating everything that was in front of me. So it's probably Action Man.
What was the name of the lair of the Thundercats?
That's a tough quiz. I don't know.
I can't remember what
the castle, though. And I can visualize it. Yeah, yeah. I have no idea.
I had a friend who had one of those. He was so rich and he had all the toys and he had that. And I was the most jealous 8-year old watching him bring that out of his wardrobe. Was it just called the Lair? The Thunder Lair?
Maybe. My friend had a connection, a family in America, and he had all the American Ghostbusters that you can get here.
Oh,
got it. Anyway, enough of this insanity.
It was called the Cat's Lair. Cat's Lair. No.
The Cat's Lair?
No.
Oh, how much do you reckon it is now? Right. Let's end this segment. I'm going to do some Googling and find out about how much.
Jesus Christ, I found one on eBay. $1,410.99.
I'm going to need to find 15 grand at the kindergarten.
It's magnificent.
Fetch me my spade. Speaking of money, how much attention do you pay to what's in your pockets? I, for one, don't really pay attention to the euro notes, at least. They seem rather bland in comparison to the pomp and circumstance of British notes. In fairness, I've always liked the design used, but I always felt there was room for a little more artistry. The euro banknotes were created by the Austrian designer Robert Kalina. The Ages and Styles of Europe notes feature 7 abstract fictional bridges representing different design eras, but there's also a series that I think do like architectural arches and window frames as well, and that's like a second set of euro notes. Yeah, what do you make of the euro notes there, Simon? Do you agree that they're a little bit boring? Is that a good thing?
I quite like them. I think they're all right. I think it is time for a change. They've been the same ones pretty much since launch in, was it 2002?
Yeah, the change was these other variations that came in that were, like I said, they were like frames. They do seem quite desolate. They always remind me of an M.C. Escher painting.
Yeah, I mean, the bridges, I think, is like you look at, oh, that's a nice bridge. And then the bridge doesn't exist. I think that's a bit of a weird trick. But this is sort of one of my areas of really random knowledge, because there is a town in South Holland. I've learned from talking to Dutch friends that I cannot guess how to say a Dutch name correctly. I always get it wrong. So I'm going to guess this one is Spiknissie, is my guess on that. And if you're Dutch and are offended by that, I'm sorry.
Please, write in.
I will take corrections. I said Cruyff my entire life. And of course, I know it's Kalf, or however you say it. Yeah. Apologies. Yeah. But there is a town.
deckisfromhome@gmail.com for any complaints, please.
Yeah.
They will be read out.
Title, Dutch Glory, Rise Up.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is this town, I'm just going to talk about it as a province in South Holland, and they decided, as a bit of an art project, to build the bridges. So these bridges do exist, and they exist in this lovely little town in the south of Holland. So you can now go on a little tour, hold up your notes, and take a picture of it in front of it. The bridges are quite small. Like when you look at the bank, they're like, oh, that's a grand bridge, transported bounty and bullion across it. And it's like, it's just painted on the side of a B road bridge. But yeah, they do exist. So if you are really bored and live near the Dutch border, that is something you can do. You can go and recreate the notes before they're changed to have non-fake bridges on them.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. The EU is kind of a similar opinion to you, Simon, in that they want to see some changes. So they've gone full on competition mode for a change to the Eurozone money in the coming years. Since 2021, actually, there's been a public inquiry and 2 multidisciplinary advisory groups have been formed to review the design for euro notes. And now the European Central Bank, ECB, has selected 2 themes for the redesign. I mean, who said the EU was bureaucratic, right? That seems like an entirely simple process.
But I mean, in fairness to the public inquiary and the 2 multidisciplinary... it's hard to say.
I'm not a Brexiteer, I promise. Yeah. I'm just making a joke.
They have obviously learned from what Britain has done, because we have done these kinds of things online. Just be like, what should we name this? And that's how we have Boaty McBoatface. Yeah. And also, a lot of these competitions will often end up with Hitler being suggested, and that would be a bit of a weird turn. Suddenly, Hitler's leading the polls to be on the 20 euro note. No, that's not allowed to happen. So yeah, I'm pro bureaucracy in this context.
I feel like, yeah, maybe if you put it out for just a public discussion, then you'll end up with some pretty horrendous suggestions. But the ECB has made a call for design suggestions on 1 or 2 possible themes. One is iconic European personalities who have contributed to building Europe's cultural heritage. And there is another one that is highlighting the resilience and diversity of Europe's natural ecosystems. And some of the names they've included in the list of those who've provided Europe's cultural heritage, we've got Maria Callas, Beethoven, Marie Curie, Miguel de Cervantes, and Leonardo da Vinci, of course.
The problem I have with Maria Callas, I don't have a problem with Maria Callas, but the problem is the first thing I think about when I hear the name Maria Callas is an REM song, a really amazing REM song called Ebo the Letter. And there's the lyric in there, Maria Callas, comma, whoever she is. And now whenever I hear Maria Callas, I'm like, comma, whoever she is. So yeah, Michael Stipe has affected my touch base for Maria Callas. So yeah, I think, obviously, this is a pretty logical thing. This is what most countries do, have famous figures from the past. But I love animals. So I'm much more interested, if I'm totally honest, in having the ecosystems represented. So yeah, birds, I'm all for that. A lovely seal, that's always good. You could do it. So the small banknote, small bird. And then once you get to the 500, it's just a whale. And then you could, like, yeah, the weight of the animal is representative of the weight of the note.
Hey, oh no, I like that. Oh, that is good. That is very nice. Like the heaviest animal.
You could do that with famous people as well. You could have Henry VIII on a 50-pound note. Fat fuck.
Exactly right. Oh man, that would be wicked. That's the way.
I mean,
you
could redo the American notes. Get rid of the presidents. Just have the different stages of Marlon Brando.
That would actually be so much cooler. I feel like our American friends are getting enough shit as it is, so let's cut them some slack this week, eh? Just a little bit.
Sorry.
We don't want to go changing their currency.
They've come here for distraction if they're listening to us, so I think this is probably helpful.
Your money's delightful. You can keep it the way you want. Anyway. Although, it doesn't make any sense that they're all the same size.
Yeah, what are blind people supposed to do?
It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, whatever. It's fine. You do you. Christine Lagarde, the ECB president, said the banknotes were due for the first revamp since their launch on the 1st of January 2002. After 20 years, it's time to review the look of our banknotes to make them more relatable to Europeans of all ages and backgrounds. The new banknotes will symbolize our shared European identity and the diversity that makes us strong. So I'm a little confused. Why are we only allowed to pick from the suggested options? Can't we just suggest any person?
Who do you want to suggest?
Oh, I was trying to think of, like, what's the most obscure, like, I want some obscure philosophers. I want to, obviously you want a good balance between men and women. And like one of the first ones I thought was like, oh, Ada Lovelace, because I love Ada Lovelace. It's okay. One of the people that's in the book that I'll read to my daughter. And I was like, yeah, they're not going to choose a British one. So like, Ada Lovelace ain't an option. I don't know. I guess I'm going to go for... tough one, isn't it? I mean, Da Vinci's pretty solid, like, come on.
But isn't it so predictable,
Da Vinci? Yeah, but he's good, like, he was pretty good. Pretty nifty.
he was pretty good.
Yeah, he had a good moment there, didn't he, with his paintbrushes.
Say what you like, he was pretty good.
I think the problem with some of the Renaissance artists, aside from Leonardo Da Vinci, who people, I think, have a clear eye of who that, what he may have looked like, but the likes of Michelangelo or Donatello, you need someone who's both like appealing as an important personage of European cultural heritage, but also like you've recognized them.
I would love to see a Dali note.
Oh yeah. Oh that'll yeah. That's it. Get the artist and do the notes in the style of the artist. Mm. So you can do like Monet's, Van Gogh's, or like, I'm not pronouncing it right. It's Van Gogh.
A 20 inspired by Guernica. Yeah, I'd be very happy with that.
Oh yeah, but
well, I guess the Spanish probably wouldn't want it.
Yeah, maybe Guernica is not the what you want to depict, but so you can use a Picasso style for sure. I mean, that's the style we're talking about, right? But
some sort of lobster telephone. Be like, oh yeah, how many lobsters is that?
That's wicked. A Dura rhinoceros on you.
Okay.
On your €5 note.
How or the four horsemen. That's a pretty cool engraving they did as well. Quite bleak.
What's that, the 500 euros? It's that the €0 note? Oh,
he's
no!
Got, yeah.
You handed it and you're dead.
One of those in circulation.
Exactly. If you get it, it's the death note.
Like, oh no, I guess I had to kill myself. I got the juror.
Return German society in a complex version of the ring. So you've got 7 days to get rid of that note, mate.
Off report to the Henkersteg. The hangman's waiting.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, hopefully not. So as I said, there's two tables of options for these notes. I'm never going to get that image out of my head. It's horrific. There's one listing like sort of €5 for the Callas opera singer note. On the reverse side, we'll have street performers, or there's a €10 note with Beethoven, along with a song festival with a choir of children. There's one for the €200 and all the others. So there's a lot of variations we can choose from. In the Rivers and Birds, there's also some options too. So we've got gannets flying over the big ocean waves for the €200 note. There you go. That's what you're looking for, gannets. There, Simon. Nice bit of a gannet. So on the smallest €5 note, there's a mountain spring and a wall creeper next to a mountain landscape on the other side. Sounds delightful. So are you going to be submitting some redesigns there, Simon? Are you going to scribble something down on the back of a bit of paper and send it off? That's what I'm doing. Doing it right now.
I want a fat squirrel.
yes.
I also, I talked about it on the podcast a couple of years ago. I saw the fattest hawk I've ever seen in my life in the forest that I live in. And I think fat hawks are underrepresented in currencies around the world. So I'd like to see some fat hawks. Just plump animals would be a really nice thing to do. One of my concerns is with the people is that one of the criticisms that Europe gets from other sort of trading blocks is that maybe we're a little bit like, oh, you guys like poetry and opera. And if we're starting off with like opera singers on the five note, I think they're going to think that we're really soft.
A little bit pretentious, maybe.
Yeah. And I think with trade wars looming, maybe we need some like rough and tumble dudes. Jean-Claude Van Damme on the fiver. Be like, okay, whoa. Yeah, we forgot about Bloodsport.
We put the Maginot line on there. And then we've got the Maginot line. They've gone round the Maginot line. No, so we don't want that. Yeah, we want something like maybe putting the best foot forward. I don't know. I guess, yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I feel like that might cheapen the exercise slightly. But we'd get the message across quite strongly.
We could just do like the muscle men of Europe and have like Arnie.
Arnie, yeah, obviously Arnie. Yeah, yeah, Dolph Lundgren, come on.
Ooh. Yeah,
we've already got the €5, €10, and €20 notes. So
like, oh no, we're not gonna mess with Europe. That's where all the Mookie boys live.
That brings us to the end of the show. We're all off to dig up our gardens and find sacks of money that are clearly buried there. If you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. The podcast has accounts on Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to follow us on your social media channel of choice. Just search for Decades From Home to find us. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, reach out via any of our social media channels or get us on deckersfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%german.com, where weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks, and be some next time. Tschüss!
Spargelzeit!